Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedies in the Law on the subject of the status change. My name is Martin Michelson. I'll be your host for this evening's conference call brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you're on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone looking for legal advice has no place or business here on any of these calls. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes, just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. However educated and experienced as these thoughts and opinions might be, at the end of the day, they are just that. They're just people's opinions, and it is always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. If I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. We look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you have a separate page come up with just two items on it, otherwise blank page. These two items are of much importance, especially if this is all new to you. First on the left is the jurisdictionary course. That is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure that are known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundational structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic concept of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you might find yourself in. On the right is the common law default, mostly known for its national 85% win rate, most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's usually what it's most commonly purchased for, but not really why it's up here. The reason that we have it up here is once you've gone through the jurisdictionary course a couple times and then you start getting into the common law default, you'll see very quickly that it acts as a real-life homework assignment. Much of the core structures that you learned about in jurisdictionary, you're now acting out in a real-life scenario in the common law default. And, of course, given the fact that it is usually for traffic scenarios, folks find it a little bit more palatable for their first time, for their first go-around, for a less stressful type of scenario. Both of these items are very affordably priced. Just a small contribution is being asked for the jurisdictionary at $250 and the common law default at $150. So we encourage you to pick those items up at your earliest convenience. Now, if we back out of that, we see the register login there. That's just a general reminder for us to pick up a membership there to Your Remedy at your earliest convenience. Also, very affordable, asking of just a $10 monthly contribution. You can do that automatically with your PayPal, your credit card. If that's not an option for you yet today, though, every call is broadcasted out over the air free of charge at freedomsradio.com, www.freedomsradio.com, so you don't ever have to miss a call again if you don't wish. You don't get the one-on-one with the speaker as you would, you know, by being a full membership. But there's even a little line there where you can type in a question or a comment. And those are read out over the air. And so you even get a little bit of limited interaction with the speaker there. All right, on to the next subject. If I can bring everybody's attention, you may have noticed every time you go to Your Remedy, you're met with that little blue box that pops up that asks you to, if you want to continue on or if you want to stop and check out Americans Restoring America. We've done that, so folks, hopefully we'll explore. Too often we hear, I wish I'd known about this, or I wish I'd heard about that. And so we placed that blue box there so that, do just a little bit of exploring there. Obviously, there are quite a bit of speakers now and members of the team at Your Remedy Isn't a Law, information providers on a myriad of different subjects. And then Your Remedy Isn't a Law is just one of a dozen and a half websites or so that all together make up Americans Restoring America. So odds are for the vast majority of you, you've not even scratched the surface of what all is available to you there. And so that's why we placed that box there. So hopefully you'll, as time allows it, you'll go ahead and explore. Also, on pretty much every website that we have, you might have noticed that map of the United States. That is Grassfire Communications, formerly known as Statewide Communications. That is a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another based on a common interest of topics. Most folks would probably describe it as a social media, but really nothing like a social media. It's very custom. It's very private, but like some folks would most likely describe it as a social media. What it's going to do is it's going to walk you through a very easy setup. Put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then you've got a long list of topics. Anything from home foreclosure status to status change here, like we're talking about tonight, or IRS matters, traffic, on and on and on. Then it's going to ask you for a radius, how far away from home do we want to go? Are we looking for citywide, countywide, statewide, some custom in between? And then when it's all said and done, it's going to put you in contact with these people. The idea is that you jump on there one day and you say, well, this happened to me today. Maybe the first person says, well, I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's very fair. Well, that's probably not going to help you on your educational process. Maybe the next person says, well, I tell you what, I'd watch this YouTube video, or I'd go down to my local county courthouse, look up the definition. If you didn't know, every courthouse has a law library free of charge to the, to the taxpayer. Maybe the next person pops on and says, I think that's those are great ideas also. Check out this website. Maybe Your Remedy Isn't a Law.com, for example. See what educational material they have available to you there. You see here very quickly what I'm saying here. We're just trying to put the power of education, the power of communication back in the hands of the common man. And, of course, there's no charge to use Grassfire Communications. It's completely free. So, all right, winding down here, this next portion is called Your Caveat Emptor, or Your Buyer Beware. When you come aboard with an information provider here at Your Remedies in the Law, you're doing just that. You're coming aboard directly with an information provider. These information providers, these members of the team, pay for advertising at Your Remedy. This advertisement would be a cost to that information provider along with any other costs that would be associated with your particular educational process or what it is that service that's being performed there. And that being just to a more specific question, what is the refund policy or the credit policy at Your Remedies in the Law? There is none. That, again, if that was going to be a conversation that would need to be had, that would be a strict and private matter between you and your information provider. But even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. As always, you're expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, I want to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these calls are guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always keep it civil. Besides, if the question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it. All right, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to Mr. Edward, and he will introduce our speaker for this evening.
All right, thank you very much, Martin. How's my voice coming across all right?
Yes, fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, most excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we've covered this topic many, many times. and that is the difference between being a Union State citizen versus being a United States citizen. The term United States is exclusive in our federal constitution to a very limited and specific area. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 takes you to, quote, 10 miles within the seat of power, all territories, possessions, and enclaves. That is what the Constitution says. So if you live in any one of the 50 states, you are not a United States citizen. You may be if you wish to be, but by birth, having been born in one of the several states, having your domicile, not residence, but domicile in one of the 50 states, you are a Union State citizen. IRS used to refer to you as a Union State citizen in one of the options for you being exempted from the income tax. It was on an old W-8-BEN form. That form has since been updated to no longer include that declaration, that title. Your character, your essence is recognized in the United States Code under Title 8 at Section 1502, where you are referred to as a, quote, American national. Now, the problem that we have that we're dealing with is that you have, on one hand, gross ignorance on the part of the judiciary and the executive branch and the legislative branch as to the fact that we're operating and running two national governments at the same time. There are multiple cases that point that out, that's what's going on. And to our disadvantage, we have to fight in order for ourselves to be recognized under that status of being a Union State citizen, American national. In a particular case that's going on right now, and you may learn about it more on the Tuesday night calls, is that there is now a judge that paperwork is being prepared to file I'm not certain if it's going to be a civil complaint or if it will be a criminal complaint of Title 18, Section 242 or Title 42, Section 1983. I'm not certain yet which way John is going to go with it, but a judge this past week in Mr. T's court appearance refused to allow Mr. T to have his choice of Sixth Amendment counsel to defend the case, to defend him, and instead assigned a bar attorney, a public pretender, public defender, who immediately in that hearing, as soon as he was given teeth, basically shut things down for his own client that he's supposed to defend. So this is where this is going at this time. Finally, blessedly, we're going to be going on the offense. So this is going to, your Tuesday night calls are going to be extremely critical for your edification in understanding and as to the process and where we're going with it. Sixth Amendment gives every Union State citizen, every American national, the right to their choice of counsel. There are no stipulations as to them having to be a member of the bar or anything along that order. So the bench in this instance, knowingly, willingly, and intentionally deprived Mr. T of his constitutional rights under color of law. Now, there's two things that may come out of this. The first is that since, and I don't know if this lawsuit will be promulgated by Mr. T, or if John will be acting as a private attorney general and prosecuting it on his own his own status, don't know. The point being is that if it does come through Mr. T, then obviously this bench will have to recuse themselves from the case. And that's a good thing because it means that the next judge, even if that next judge is as corrupt or more corrupt or ignorant of what the law is going to be having to ask himself, well, to quote a phrase in a movie that I've enjoyed many years ago, do you feel lucky? That's what they're going to look at. It's going to tenderize the court into good behavior. If you recall, a couple of decades ago, when I was promoting exclusively at that time, Mr. David Merlin, that was his, it was called Offensive Litigating Strategies, is how he titled it. I love that expression. That should be anyway, so he has, that is the posture that we're moving towards, and I think it's something that you all are going to benefit greatly over when you continue to listen and participate on these calls, particularly the Tuesday call with Brother John. I don't see any first-time callers here, so I'm going to presume that all of you have heard, in fact, many of you should know by rote now that the different law case sites that I've promulgated through the course of these conference calls that clearly delineate between the rights of a Union State citizen and the privileges of a United States citizen. So I'm going to pass on that at this point and just say that it is so incredibly important. There is no other priority, in my estimation, more important than you correcting your status at your earliest possible moment. It takes anywhere from 3 weeks normally to as much as 3 or 4 months for the process to for you to go through that process. There are situations where you can actually do the process in within 2 weeks. It does require an effort on your part, being willing to purchase hopefully refundable tickets outside of our country, where you can actually go directly to a center, State Department center, immigration center that actually manufactures the pass card and the passports on their premises. Here in Florida, we have to go all the way down to Miami. It's no other place in Florida to do this. Versus most of you can wait the 3 weeks to 3 months or 4 months and simply have a meeting at a local representative of the State Department, which is at the post office usually. And it's basically a place where you go through an interview that you'll always have prep work with GW to make certain that you have all your I's dotted and T's crossed and you have everything with you that you're supposed to have and expectations of what kind of conflicts you may engage in by the person processing you that just wants to keep you in the crab pot, if you would. So you can do that and go through that through a local representative of the State Department at a post office. It's your choice. So I wanted to cover all of that with you and just say that we have a choice, and I think the window is closing on us, and I believe it's now closing rapidly, where we will have the opportunity to do battle for the reclamation of our country through the court system. That's where I want it done. I don't want it done in the street. If you've ever gone deer hunting with a 308 or 308 cartridge, you don't want to see the results of what happens in the street when a firefight takes place. So to that end, I'm pleading with everyone on this call. Share with your friends. We have an opportunity through the court system to make a difference and to turn this very large ship of state about. There is going to be, and it's within 6 weeks now, so I'm told 6 or 7 weeks, 8 weeks at the most. Within 6 weeks, we're going to have Grass Fire Communication live operating out of Iceland. It's going to be very, very difficult the way this company has it set up that we are contracted with. They host servers, both physical servers as well as virtual servers for people around the world that require privacy and protection from the general hackers. So they have a military-grade firewall that basically surrounds the complex, if you want to imagine it in that sense. And then each standalone system, hardware system, which is what the route we chose, we bought our own servers, they have their own military-grade protections, firewalls in place. So this is going to enable us to operate far more safely than what we've been operating for the past, well, since we started this. Our programming, for the most part, has been decimated to a great degree by different attacks that have taken place, not just on a daily basis, but continually throughout the day. And if it weren't for our backup systems, we wouldn't be able to be hosting these websites that we are doing at this time. So your prayers are asked for, et cetera. And we also have GiveSendGo platform up. If you feel so inclined, go to AmericansRestoringAmerica.com. There's a GiveSendGo there platform for us. Under Americans Restoring America. And if you care to financially join the fight, we'd greatly appreciate it. It's on my end here, it's as much of a battle to keep the funds flowing as it is anything else so that we can continue with what we're doing. Once Grass Fire Communication launches, though, the tool will be in place that will enable us to take back our nation bloodlessly, without bloodshed, prayerfully, and enable people in a given county community, in a given city community, to communicate with one another anonymously. Nobody will have to know who the other person is. It's not designed for you to send an email from one person to another through it, although we will have DM capability for easier communication, but the umbrella is that you will be able to lock in a venue. For instance, you might say, I'll use Florida here and my familiar neck of the woods. I want to speak with everyone in Volusia County, Florida, and I want to talk about Second Amendment. So everyone in Volusia County, that's 500,000+ men and women and people that have registered for the system. Now, I didn't say 500,000 registered for the system, but I'm just using those numbers for the population purposes. And they are able to network with each other if they chose when they signed up that they wanted to hear about Second Amendment conversations. So it automatically is dumped to them. They're in Volusia County, and they want to hear about Second Amendment. Now, if we had, out of the 500,000, 10% is 50,000, 1% is 5,000, half of 1% is 2,500, a quarter of 1% is 1,250 people. If one quarter of 1% of the population, just 1,250 people, who were dedicated to restoring government to we the people in Volusia County, Florida. All it would take is the 1,250 people, or even less than that, working together, networking with each other to attend county council meetings, city council meetings, and say, this is what we want, and have the ability to exercise something called a recall. Recall is a constitutional process wherein you take someone who was allegedly duly elected, you know, like Joe Biden, and then have enough signatures, wet ink signatures, that say, I don't want him to represent me anymore. Now, of course, the number for the presidency would be astronomical. The number for somebody that is a state representative, having that county being their home county, that's much, much less. And within the 1,250 people, you have the ability to have that team in place to affect that kind of change. And literally, and I hate that expression, but accurately speaking, within 3 to 5 years, there will be no opposition to what we the people desire. I mean, this is a democracy, if you would, in its full force and effect, which is mob rule. That's what a democracy is mob rule. And that's what they claim that we have, which is what the United States has within that limited jurisdiction that it claims to have over you in Florida or any state that you live in, et cetera. So I just wanted to update you on all of that. GW has appeared, and we're glad to have him tonight. Let me turn the call over to him, and let's hear what he's got to share for this week's work that he's accomplished, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. Go ahead, GW.
Hey, I'm Michael. And
hey.
Thank you for... Yeah, I'm over here in California, where it's a little bit cooler than where I'm from, by about...
All right, I'm going to mute out, GW, and let Martin take over the call, okay, with you?
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Yeah, I'm over in California, where it's a little bit cooler, where I am for probably a couple weeks here, meeting with some people and just trying to get cooled off. From 115 to 117 degrees. Anyway, hope everybody is doing well. A lot of action going on with, you know, people talking about the this process called the correction of status, and I've been meeting with a number of people throughout the week, and just got off with a gentleman today who same. Boy, I'm hearing the stories over and over and over again about, and I got to do, you know, there's one, I mean, we've got a really great process here. We're getting people through correctly, and we're really helping them, and we're trying to do it fast, is where there's a lot of people out there that have been engaged with people like David Strait and his organization, which is collapsing right now as we speak, and for a number of reasons. I think they're bad reasons. It's sad for their organization, but it's stuff that I always have to deal with in unwinding all the silliness that people have gotten into with these other, not so honest players out there that seem to be very money motivated in their approach to helping people do different things, and it's not just with correcting your status; it goes all over the place. I mean, you're talking with all different kinds of issues that have to do with freedom, and you've got people out there that are very cavalier about people's lives and about their security and especially getting them trained right. And so just had another one come in and making arrangements to get his stuff put together, and he's been trying to do David's process for a long time. and just never could pull the trigger on it because of just some of the craziness there. Probably good reason. So, you know, what we do here, and of course, most of the people on this call, they're either seeking to find a remedy in, you know, pursuing this route, or they are already corrected their status, and they might be just jumping on the call to just to, you know, be around people talking about it, or, you know, trying to find the community, could be. It's definitely something that can really help you if you're if you travel a lot, and you're out running around and about and going different places in this world. It's a huge benefit in that sense. The way you're treated at airports with customs officials, even in different countries, and it's also a very big benefit for people that wanting to have a better, better outcome in even the traffic stop, okay, and knowing how to not just stand your ground, but knowing not, and not being belligerent about your rights, but knowing your rights and knowing how to assert them in a way that's honorable, respectful, but that will put the Leo, or the officer, on notice that this might be a little different. You might want to be a little careful with the way you proceed forward here, because it could bring a real liability to your police organization and the court if they take this up, because I'm not going to sit in silence and let things happen this way. I'm giving you notice up front, you know, that I have corrected status, and here's my passport card. Please run this, and before you go too much further in this whole process. Number of things that people bring up to me on a pretty normal basis is they bring up the subject of, you know, getting an international driver's license. And just was asked by one of my clients today, actually, about that. And he's done some other things, but he hasn't quite got his status corrected yet. He's taking a little bit of time. And I want to know about international driver's license. And I thought, you know, interesting subject. Even our own AAA offers international driver's license, okay, or international driver's permits to people, and they're only for, they distribute it, they issue the international, you know, driver's permit or driver's license to you, but it's only good in other countries, not here. It's not to be used here, it's to be used in every other country besides the issuing country. And that's the same thing with international driver's license that you can procure from another country. They're not good there, but they're good anywhere else, pretty much, that you would be operating a, you know, vehicle. And so, but here's the thing. You might want something like that if you do a lot of if you want to travel a lot and, you know, rent a vehicle or whatever in a foreign country, that might be something that you'd want to do. Although a lot of my clients that I have through various organizations right now, several of them that are promoting my work and bringing me in to help them get their status corrected, are, you know, most of the countries they go to, Uber is a... is actually quite available in foreign countries, especially in the big cities and places where most of it's more touristy. You're not going to find it out in the recesses, you know, far away from some of the more touristy areas. But what's interesting is just talking with one of my guys from that was just getting his another plan B, they call it, in Paraguay, you know, getting citizenship there. I was also correcting a status, but the Uber rides are extremely inexpensive, you know, like $1.89. You know, I mean, you don't hear that here, but over there you will. So there's so many different options instead of having to procure some of these, you know, international driver's permits or licenses that you actually can operate pretty successfully with just the Uber app working on your phone in a foreign country. So wanted to say that. I was with one of my one of the people that already has their status corrected and helping to do some structuring for him with his operations. He's a doctor, and he actually showed me the paperwork that he had applied for through Strait, David Strait's organization, where they're trying to sell this land, okay, ownership of land, okay, that supposedly is patented property in Texas. And you could buy actually a little 3x3 foot parcel and be qualified to be a Texan. Well, put that big operation together and sold a whole bunch of these plans, and my friend, the doctor, was able actually to cancel it because he put it on his American Express, and certain advantages to using American Express for some different operation, by the way. And he was able to cancel about 30 days later when everything started to fall apart. But the Republic of Texas, the official Republic of Texas, a big organization, had a big problem with David and Bonnie, and said, you know, we no longer support you, we no longer recommend you, and you know, we're not going to be a part of this. And so that's when the doctor pulled back, and he was able to get his money refunded through American Express. But they were doing this, and this is some of the things that really pop up that are real concerning to me about some of the things that some of these others do. And it's more greed-centered, because the actual property and whether it's really patented land or not is another question. That if they did everything properly and right, and looking at the documents, it, I don't know, looks real sketchy. But the other part is that you take the amount of land and you take the amount of these 3x3 parcels on the hundreds of acres, okay, that they supposedly own, okay, in a patent property, and you add that up, it comes to about $95 million. So the whole thing was really, you know, it seems like a lot of these different things that are going on out there, you know, in the end are money-driven, greed-driven, which is, to me, which is, I don't know, it's not going to work too well. So I've just told you a little bit about my week, so I will yield now and turn it over here to Martin to open it up for questions and answers.
All right. Star 2 on your keypad, folks, if you have a question. Star 2 at this time to raise your hand. If you're listening on the Freedoms Radio side, type your questions in the question bar at this time and click submit.
All right. David in Texas. Go ahead.
Hey, Martin. Thank you. Hey, GW. Michael. I was on the call last week and mentioned to you all about three different methods of confirming a corrected status, and I emailed all of that information to Michael last Wednesday. Don't know, GW, if you've received it yet or not, but I would sure like to get a conference call with you, too.
Yeah, I've looked over my emails and don't remember that one coming in. If Michael could either when he said it or resend it.
But I'll send an email to him so that he can take a look at that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, well,
nice
I think it'd be a tremendous benefit for you and all of your clients.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
One of those questions, I think.
Sorry,
I don't know. Maybe Michael is doing some other things right now, but hopefully, Martin, you can make a note to have Michael, I don't know if he sent it or not. It might have gone into a, it's weird because I usually get everything from Michael.
No, he confirmed to me that he got it.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of emails coming in and quite a bit of activity, as you can well imagine. But it'll be attended to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. All right, David. Thank you for the heads up on that again.
Yep.
I'm sure Mike will be able to put together something where we'll be able to get on a call together.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Charlie in Oklahoma, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Question, I don't know if this relates to, it probably does relate to a status change or has some implication, but I'm wondering about getting a concealed carry gun license. Is that, recommended or not, or how does correcting status affect that, et cetera? I don't know the question to ask.
Okay.
I'm just
all right. So you're in. Can I ask you what state you're in?
In Oklahoma.
Oh, that's right, Oklahoma. Yeah, so that should be that should be in Oklahoma a little more of a straight-up process, and you got a lot of good support there. So you wanna apply for and get a concealed carry license, is what you're saying, okay?
Right.
And so I would, if I was similarly situated, where I was like, well, I want to get a license and I've got my corrected status. Okay. What I would be doing was wherever you have to go to apply for, okay, that type of license and permission, I would be, definitely, starting the paperwork and whoever's, the administrators that are helping you do that, okay, I would be bringing along with me my document, my one document especially, which is the affidavit. So everybody we have going through the process, we're always encouraging them to make up at least three, if not, five originals, okay, of the affidavit, because the affidavits are real powerful and real strong. And there's certain things you might want to use those for in the, beyond just using it with the application process with a DS-11. You might want to use it in this situation also when you're there at the facility that's requesting the information from you. You need to start going over it and identifying, there's going to be boxes to check, I'm sure, that say, are you a U.S. citizen or are you this? And you're going to look for the box that says, are you an American national or a definition of a state citizen, you know, or are you a national? And you're probably not going to see it. And so that's when you're going to need to and want to, and this is what I would do, say, listen, I've got a little bit of a problem here, okay? I don't want to perjure myself because I have corrected my status with the U.S. State Department as an American national, and you can look at my affidavit right here, that same affidavit that went to the State Department that's never been rebutted. And this is an affidavit of my citizenship status. This is my declaration of citizenship status. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I don't want to perjure myself and check the box that says I'm a U.S. citizen, because I'm not anymore. You know, I've corrected my status. So what would you have me to do in this situation here? And then just give them the paperwork back, and hopefully they can bring about some kind of a resolution to that, you know, by an addendum that they can make on the paperwork, something like that, where, you know, hopefully they can satisfy your intentions, and they could, you know, give you some kind of a workaround. That might take them a little while. It might be where they have to turn into their legal department, and you might have to come back. But that's how I would pursue it if I was similarly situated there, David.
So if the like currently, I've not initiated the process for correcting status. You know, just
okay.
Financially, etc. Would it be? I actually, you know, went through the course, a course that's needed before you go to the county sheriff or wherever, and fill out the paperwork you're kind of referring to. And apparently, the course I took, I mean, it applies for 2 years or something. Given that situation, is it easier just to go ahead while I am a citizen and go through the process, and then, you know, later when I corrected my status, what implications are there, and are there adverse implications in doing it that way?
Oh, okay. So, right now you're categorized as a U.S. citizen. You're gonna, and you're asking me, you know, if you go through the course, okay, and you get your, if you get the license for concealed carry, and then you correct your status, okay?
Correct.
Right.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Does correcting your status have any negative implications on that particular situation? And the answer is absolutely no. Okay. And in fact, in my view, it only makes it a little better, because here's the thing, you know, it's, and I refer back to the mindset training, and I believe it's also in the document that Michael's put out on the website. Okay, I believe that court case is in there also, and you know, I basically memorized it, and it says this. It says the acceptance of a license in whatever form. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there, because a, you know, carry concealed license is one of the whatever forms of license there is, okay, so it covers every license. All right, so it says the acceptance of a license in whatever form does not impose upon the licensee an obligation to respect or to comply with any of the any code, provision, or regulation prescribed that would be repugnant to the Constitution. Okay?
Okay.
So if you understand that, what it's saying is, no matter what kind of license you have, if you correct your status and you have your God-given rights, okay, then anything prescribed in that code, okay, that specific code that refers to that license, that would be repugnant to the Constitution, you no longer have an obligation to. It's like it's null and void. And that's where, you know, having the knowledge and being able to stand on it, you know, really works. and that's where you prevail on it. So, you know, I think it would just be a good thing all around, you know, correct your status, you know, even after you have the license.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that insight. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. Ron in Florida, go ahead.
Yes. I have a couple of questions. Do you know anything about or information on a group called Our Great Awakening?
No.
Okay. I have a podcast in front of me referring to, they're referring to something similar as to what we are looking into, and I'm debating whether to join their group for further investigation. Their main objective is to request oath of office for various individuals, judges, governors, persons of interest, claiming foreign interest obligations.
Yep. And I understand that, you know, understand that the people that are proceeding in that realm and trying to get the oaths of office from all the different players out there, including, you know, Biden and his whole crew. I don't see it as an unworthy project to do. I see it as another, you know, pulling another straw out of the, another card out of this situation that's going to tumble down at some point. Where people I've seen that are really making a difference are actually not just going after the oath of office, but they're going after the bond. Okay. And, I've helped, you know, over the years, I'll give you a nugget here. I don't know if anybody's dealing with credit card issues or things like that from past, you know, if there's anybody on the call that's dealing with, creditors that are, creditors, where things have been charged off and now you have, a company calling you up for the deficit that, was left behind for the credit card. But, I'll wind this together, which I was just talking to Ron with. I'll wind it together. The Fair Debt Collection Act, okay, found in Title 15, actually binds these people that are debt collectors, especially in the public, okay. There's a couple things that they have to have that I don't hear anybody talking about this hardly anymore at all, because once you know about this, it kind of excludes the people, you know, charging a good amount of money to help you get rid of credit card debt, okay? But there is a very inexpensive way to kind of deal with it, all right? And that is that if you get called from somebody that the debt's been passed on to you. Now, I'm not talking about the bank. If the bank that you have the credit card debt with still is the one that is engaged in calling you, this really won't, not going to work too well. But if it's a debt collector where they bought, okay, the debt, all right, for pennies on the dollar, and that's what they do. They buy them for pennies on the dollar, and then they go after that and try to collect those debts. First thing you want to ask them for is their bond, okay, their debt collection bond. You need to see a copy of that, see if they're legitimate. Because if they're operating in the public, they have to have a debt collection bond. Okay, that's one thing. And that's for if they actually damage you in the public, you have the bond right there to be able to collect on. Okay? And so they have to have a bond, just like a somebody that takes an oath of office, okay, an official, they're also supposed to have a performance bond for their office, which sometimes really hard to get to. Another thing, you might want to write that down, is the debt collection bond, okay, you need to see a copy of that, if you're, you know, actually you're legitimate and you're operating according to, you know, Title 15, the Fair Debt Collections Act. You know, it's there. Another thing you want to ask for is the power of attorney from the original, okay, owner of the debt to you, the one that's trying to collect it. I need to see that power of attorney. Okay, now, I've helped a number of people over a long period of time and do that, you know, just say that correctly and for the most part, the calls stop either immediately or they might be sold off to another debt collector and you got to do the same thing again. But it usually shuts it all down. But that's why I was tying this in together, Ron, is that, you know, public officials are supposed to have, you know, a bond that insures them for, you know, in the public in case they damage the public. And there are people out there that have successfully gone after the bonds of these different officials because of a breach or a trespass, okay, that has been, put into the record and shown to be, a real trespass. And so that's what I got to say about that, Ron.
Okay, thank you. I have a website called Bonds for the Win.
Let's go ahead and before we do websites, let's go ahead and get that over to Mr. Edward. Go ahead and get that over to Mr. Edward first.
All right, fine.
Yep. So we'll do that tomorrow, and we'll check that out there. Did you have any other questions for?
Not at this time, no. Thank you. I yield.
All right. Appreciate you so much, Ron. All right. And Kent in West Virginia. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, Greg, I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't have any questions for you tonight.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. All right.
Come on, man.
Well, maybe I won't disappoint you next week. Anyway,
okay.
Martin, Michael asked me to make this announcement or was gracious enough to let me make this announcement for the annual barbecue for the Americans for Legal Reform, so should I do that now?
If you like, then go ahead now.
Okay. Folks, there's a group on Long Island, New York, that's been around for about 40 years now called Americans for Legal Reform, and every year they have an annual free barbecue, free of charge, and it's this Saturday, July 29th. It's going to be 1 p.m. in the afternoon to 1 a.m. Sunday morning. The rain date will be Sunday, July 30th, the next day. However, it looks like at this time that Saturday is going to be a nice day but a hot day. The address for this event, it's at a member's home. It's 14, that's 14 Ray Lane, R-A-Y, Lane, L-A-N-E. And that's in Smithtown, New York. The zip is 11787. And as a point of reference, it's near the Veterans Highway and near the Smithtown Bypass. And you're welcome to bring other people with you of like mind, people that would be interested in this type of thing. Again, it's Americans for Legal Reform. And you can bring food if you like, but that's not necessary. Any further questions, you can contact Michael or Martin, and they'll put you in touch with me. Thank you very much.
Oh. Yeah, if I was in the area, I'd want to be going to that.
Okay.
Up there in Long Island.
But you're in California.
I'm in California, so I won't be.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Ken.
Thank you.
All right. Now, looks like we've had one more pop-up. David, pop back up. David in Texas, go ahead.
Yeah, with regards to your caller from Oklahoma on the concealed carry weapons license, I'm a Texas resident for 50 years, but I did live in Oklahoma for 10 years. Both states are constitutional carry, and I would encourage you to go ahead and Google it up, constitutional carry. Many states are constitutional carry now and will allow you to constitutionally open carry and conceal carry. Restrictions for traveling in other states, but very good information online about constitutional carry. So it may not even be something that you really need.
Right on.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I want to – no, you don't. You don't love it. Let me show you why. Constitutional carry is the illusion of the Second Amendment for property and franchises of the United States to feel like they have the right. It is a privilege. They're calling it a constitutional carry. They're calling it a right. But the fact that they've passed it through the legislative, through one of the territorial states of the United States. Remember, you have Oklahoma, a union state, and you have the state of Oklahoma, a territory of the United States under the Buck Act of 1940. When they say that we've passed constitutional carry, you now can carry. We're not going to make you have a license. They're still talking to their property and franchises. They're not talking to the free man, the union state citizen. Remember that.
Love it.
Okay, so all you corrected people that have a corrected status don't do it, but only U.S. citizens? What, Michael? I mean,
well,
I understand what you're saying, Michael, but
uh-huh.
if the result is, you know, that you can constitutionally carry without applying for a license, okay.
Right.
They're
still giving their slaves permission. So in other words, okay. It's great cover, GW. So now
yeah.
You're not going to be, somebody's not going to stop you and say, you know, is that a bulge in your pocket or, you know, gun in your pocket or what? They're not going to stop you for that now. So that's just going to make it easier on you. However, it still comes down to the fact that they are, by their legislature, have, you know, given Second Amendment privileges to their people.
Gotcha.
So that, all right. So that's all there is there. It's any time that they legislate through their statutes, a constitutional right, it doesn't have application. It just is an additional aid in your cover, if you would. And again, I want to remind everyone, if you are stopped, whether it's traffic or you're carrying or whatever it is, don't get into an argument with these people. Say, officer, I just have to do my part in assisting you. I'm looking out for your welfare by sharing with you that I am a American national and deprivation of rights under color of law is a very, very, very serious federal offense. In fact, under press of arms, that's that weapon that you have on your hip, it actually can have a death penalty carried to it. So I'm just sharing this with you. I'll resolve this matter in a courtroom, not with you here on the side of the road. Whatever you require of me, I'm bowing to you under threat, duress, and coercion because of that firearm and your willingness to possibly use it if you deem necessary. So what do I do next? What do you want me to do next? Always remember that, folks. Never argue with the officers.
True, true.
GW? All right.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, one other thing we want to cover real quickly here. We have a first-time caller that came in about 10, 15 minutes ago from Memphis, Tennessee. And since you're a first-timer, I'd sure love to know how you heard about us, please. Phone number ending in 1593 from Memphis, Tennessee. If you'd like to, say hello. You don't have to. Maybe your phone is muted. Give me a second to unmute. All right. Well, if you decide to say hello, just press star 2 on your keypad and we'll pop up there. Anything else, Mr. Frank? Oh, did you say something earlier about, hold on a second. I got a text from someone here. Where is this? Maybe it was an email. It was an email. Just came in. Nope. Anyways, somebody from Texas had said something about a form. Was that you? Sir? I guess not. All right, back to you, GW. Martin.
Okay, Martin, open it up for somebody else to chime in here, if there's any hands raised. Or
star 2 on your keypad, folks, if you have a question, or type it in on the Freedoms Radio side. Jennifer in New York, go ahead. Jennifer in New York, you've been unmuted.
Oh, I was talking and I was muted, sorry. The gentleman from Texas, I think he was the second caller, mentioned emailing you, Michael, about with a document that would help all of your, all of us, all your clients, I guess. I think it was to do with, you know, having American National written in the letter. And I was just wondering, if I could have a copy of that. He was wondering whether you had sent, Michael had sent it to GW, and GW said he hadn't received it yet.
Okay. Make a note of that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Jennifer.
All right, well, that looks like it takes care of us for questions and answers.
Okay.
Well, so, Martin, you want to remind us of anything else happening tomorrow night or Wednesday night, Thursday night?
Yep. Well, just you know, join us again here tomorrow night. We'll have the next continuation of this, the point of the spear, if you will, talking about litigation. Then again, Wednesday, we'll be back here for the Golden Horseshoe LLCs. And then, of course, Thursday, we, wrap up the, you know, the team there. And then, of course, religious calls again on Friday night, so.
Yeah, I was just sent a text, from a gentleman, that, reminded me of Frankenhauser. Versus Rizzo, 59 FRD. It's a 1973 decision. It says, it is the manner of enforcement which gives Title 42, 1983, its unique importance. For enforcement is placed in the hands of the people. Each citizen acts as a private attorney general who takes on the mantle of the sovereign, guarding for all the individual liberties enunciated in the Constitution. That's a great reminder. That is our choice of offensive litigation. Thank you so very much, Mr. Mon.
Indeed.
Right. Any parting words, GW? Till next week?
No, that's it. That's it for me. Until next week.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, Martin. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll see everybody back here tomorrow night. Until then, be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.